This is the Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, In Short Supply. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. When a person arrives in the hospital after a sexual assault, they might be taken care of by somebody called a SANE, a sexual assault nurse examiner. These are forensic nurses who can take care of the patient's medical needs while also getting a precise history of what happened, documenting injuries, and collecting evidence for a rape kit. They also often have to testify in court. It's a critical job, but only about 17% of hospitals in the U.S. have this kind of program. I talked to Sally Lasky. She's the CEO of the International Association of Forensic Nurses, and I asked her how this shortage could affect patients.
The first person that a trauma survivor reaches out to and what that interaction ends up being, how that person responds, ultimately tends to shift the path of what services they may seek out or who they may tell their story to in the future. What we do know from the research is that individuals that receive care from a SANE are more likely to have better evidence collected. Their cases are more likely to be prosecuted, and their healthcare needs have been met.
So what is it like to do this job? Here's Debbie Holbrook, Director of Forensic Nursing at Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore. And this is how she starts her conversations with her patients.
My name is Debbie. I'm going to take really good care of you today. You are safe with me, and I believe you. And that's for every patient that I have that's not unconscious. That's how I greet every single patient. They're horrific cases. Just absolutely horrific cases. I have case after case of young people who are given date rape drugs, and they wake up and they don't know where they are and their clothes are missing. I have young girls who are raped by mom's boyfriends. And I had a young boy one time who was sold out as the prize when dad did poker games. So I mean, these are just a few examples. I am on a good day, 15 minutes away from the hospital. When I park, I will sit in the parking garage and I will take a couple minutes just to deep breathe. And I say a prayer for the victim. I say a prayer for the entire team of people who are coming in to take care of that person, and that I make a difference in their life. I conduct the forensic examination. I take pictures, I collect swabs, I do a medical assessment of their body. I see if there's medicines they need to keep them from getting pregnant or to keep them from getting any diseases. And then they're discharged. And then I sit for hours and package evidence and write my report and look for injuries on the pictures and put them on trauma diagrams. And it weighs, these things, they build up. They build up, and it's layers and layers and layers of all these kind of cases. Right now, I am in therapy for the third time in my career, where I have realized, you have to notice those changes in yourself. You have to notice, that you're not being as kind, not to patients, but just in general. I'm always the kind of person where somebody says, "How you doing today?" And I'm like, "I am great." And then all of a sudden, a few months ago, I noticed, somebody said to me, "How you doing today?" And I said, "You really want to know? You really want to know? Because I can tell you how I'm doing, and I'm good." And so I realized it was just time to get to somebody and unload some of it. To decompress from this work, I have learned that I have to totally separate myself. I do things like meditation, prayer. My husband, for my birthday this month, gave me a hot tub. That's a big deal when you need somewhere to go to drown out the voices. You can't get these thoughts out of your head sometimes. Some of them you can let go. But some of them just, they're with you all the time. And then you're going then you think, okay, I'm over some of these worst cases. I'm good. I've moved on. And then your subpoena comes. And now your subpoenas are coming left and right because now you've got court cases. And sometimes I've got 40 cases that on top of all the new drama that's coming in, I've got all of these ones that I have to keep revisiting. There's not a lot of people like me out there who have been doing this work for many, many years. There's a handful of us in the United States right now that have kept doing this. The difference that I make, one life at a time when they leave you, it's powerful, and somebody's got to do it.
That's Debbie Holbrook. She's director of forensic nursing at Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore. And before we heard from Debbie, we were talking with Sally Lasky from the Association of Forensic Nurses about some of the challenges that come with this job, which is part of the reason there's a shortage of these very highly skilled nurses. And Sally, it sounds like this job could just be too much to bear.
I really appreciate Debbie's story and the fact that you are sharing that with others. We have learned so much about trauma and about the neurobiology of trauma, and in addition, about the vicarious trauma that many care providers experience. And what we do know is that sitting with people and hearing their stories of trauma actually changes our brains. Those stories become part of who we are, and the work often does feel isolating. We're really working to help recenter the work of SANES as a key healthcare process, which means that the healthcare providers need to be healthy themselves to be able to provide the best care possible.
Are patients sometimes turned away from hospitals if they don't have the right person on staff to deal with the situation?
Unfortunately, yes. We do hear quite regularly that patients have been turned away if there isn't someone on staff that has been trained to do a medical forensic examination. This should never happen.
Because I'm thinking if you get turned away, maybe you'll just go home instead of seeking help.
Absolutely. Many people do turn away thinking that, oh, well, if it's not important enough for them to have someone to provide me care, or sometimes folks feel like they weren't believed by hospital staff and turn away. I think that's why it is really important that we look at this as a community issue. Forensic nurses, SANES, don't operate in a vacuum. It really does require a community partnership with other providers like victim advocates, law enforcement, and prosecutors, so that no matter what door someone walks in, all of those people will be able to help open additional doors to make sure that folks get comprehensive care that they need.
Sally Lasky is the CEO of the International Association of Forensic Nurses. Alex Stern produced this piece.